Welcome back to the Punk News Podcast, Yellow Biafra Special, Part 2. You can check out Part 1 from yesterday. It's Yellow Biafra Week at Punk News. We are celebrating the man, the myth, the legend, the Dead Kennedys, the Guantanamo School of Medicine, Tumor Circus, Jello and the Melvins, a.k.a. Jelvins, Jello and Mojo Nixon, Jello and the Soul and Ranch All-Stars. All week long, we're kicking it. This is Part 2 of our podcast. We're going to play some tunes. We're going to talk about Jello. Let's kick it off with the Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine track, John Dillinger.
Yeah! people's houses, play with their underwear. Through all the cracks of the street, you can't take it with you. Nothing left to do but come home and bolt the doors. Let's grow up real close and tell each other all the things we still don't know.
We gotta get out of this. na 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 na.
And that was the first segment of Jello Biafra's podcast special part two. We opened up with Jello Biafra from the Guantanamo School of Medicine doing John Dillinger. After that, we played Jello Biafra and No Means No doing The Sky Is Falling and I Want My Mommy. After that, one of my all-time favorite Jello covers, Jello Biafra and DOA doing a cover of a song made famous by The Animals, We Gotta Get Out of This Place. And then we wrapped up the first mini segment with a cover of the all-time classic Land of a Thousand Dances, Jello Biafra and the Soul and Ranch All-Stars, Jello doing the Wilson Pickett style off the Soul and Ranch All-Stars record, one of my all-time favorite Jello records and all-time favorite live records. If you don't have that record, that is a killer. Let's resume back with podcast special part two, Jello Biafra doing Jello Biafra Week. Now listen, Jello, he's got a lot of spoken word records. I think he's got 7 or 8 of them, and they're long, and they're interesting, but he says a lot in them. And one thing about Jello is he's even got a song that says, "Don't just question authority, question everything, and don't forget to question me." And Jello's got a lot of very strong opinions, and you guys can disagree with this point, but I feel in the punk rock community now more than ever, they're like, if you don't agree with what we're saying, we're going to kick you out of the scene. Or if you don't agree with what we're saying, you know, get out of here, you know, or we hate you. With Jello, he says so much that you probably agree with a lot. I agree with a lot of what he says, but I also disagree with a lot of what he says. So what do you do with that?
If everyone were to agree with everything and everyone, things would be very boring. If the disagreement at least is not like going to affect any sort of relationship, or you don't base, you know, your whole relationship just on an opinion, and I think you're solid. I wonder now. I mean, and I agree, John. I think things have gotten really kind of very tense within the punk scene, like you were saying.
So you do agree with my precept, if you will.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think And I would wonder what Jello would do with someone who disagreed with him, or any kind of outspoken punk, artist. Do you respect just the fact that you have differences, or does he respect the fact that people just have differences, and how far does that go? And also, just as a fan, just a music fan, you don't have to like agree with everything in order to buy their record. Like, you can just enjoy it for the art. It doesn't need to be like lockstep. You don't have to be lockstep with everything someone says. That'd just be really boring.
That's just not true, Ricky. If someone says something you don't agree with, you have to boycott them. Don't you know?
Oh, is that true?
That's the current political. You know, the thing with Jello that I appreciate. And I have appreciated, and I'm same as you, John. I agree with him on a lot of things, and I disagree with him on a fair amount of things. But the thing with him was, quite frankly, the last 8 years during the Obama years, most punks just kind of sat on their hands and oh, everything's great. But the fact of the matter, things weren't great. And now we kind of have this president who sort of makes the last guy look dignified by comparison just because he's such a bumbling asswad. But the fact of the matter is, Obama did a lot of the same horrendous things that Trump was doing. Obama did, and the guy before him did, and the guy before him did. And Jello was one of the few guys who was actually willing to poke the bee's nest that was the left. And I always appreciated that. You know what I mean? He was sort of like an equal opportunity destroyer. And that's the way punk rock should be. The politics of punk have gotten so center left that it just sickens me that we decided to settle for such pathetic politics. So anyway,
I don't think it's center left, but that's a discussion for another time.
Well, they're far left, but they're center left. Trust me.
John, to your question,
I feel like Sean. I feel like, what's that show they used to have in like the '80s where people like yell politics at each other, in the McLaughlin group or something? And I feel like Stanford Sean is like piercing between
I actually read a really interesting article about the punk's involvement with Antifa, and which kind of involved like Jello's recent like "What Would Jello Do" video, and there was a response to it by the guy from Strike Anywhere, and it was a really interesting article. I think it was on The Guardian, I should find that again, but. Yeah, it was really interesting. It was a shame we didn't get to hear kind of Jello's response to the guy from Strike Anywhere. It was more the guy from Strike Anywhere responding to Jello, because he was a bit less kind of radical.
You're saying Jello was more
like
radical?
Jello was. Jello was a bit less. Yeah. So it was interesting like seeing that kind of and he wasn't calling Jello he wasn't saying Jello was on the right or anything, but he was kind of calling Jello out for not like agreeing with his like just kind of view of the current political situation, and you know, the tensions are very high and there's kind of a lot at stake, so you know, it kind of makes sense for people in some cases to really dig into their positions. But it's cool to see Jello just still out there, like kind of speaking his mind.
Jello is generally smarter than most of the people who are arguing with him. And the fact of the matter is, with Antifa or anything else, you need to be able to win. If you can't win the intellectual argument, then violence is going to get you nowhere. You have to be able to win the intellectual argument. I don't care what your position is. That's why a stupid position like white power will never be a legitimate position, because they can't win an intelligent argument. And I think Jello, at the end of the day, will win a logical argument about a lot of things, most things.
And actually,
that's why I thought it was a shame that he didn't respond in that article.
But both staffer Sean and Tom, and then Ricky too, bring up a underscore an important point with Jello. Is what I feel, and people can disagree with me, is I feel right now in politics, people say, okay, I believe X, so I have to adopt all of X's opinions. I believe Y, so I must adopt all of Y's opinions. Where I think what's very important in Jello's entire oeuvre, if you will, especially in his spoken word, especially in his music, is thinking for yourself and coming to a conclusion based on thinking about things, both intellectually and emotionally, if you will, and not just saying, I will join this team. I guess that's the point, is Jell-O doesn't seem to be stressing, join this team. Jell-O seems to be stressing, think for yourself, which to me, that's kind of the most attractive thing in punk rock, is think for yourself, act uniquely, not join this team. And as we've spoken about on the Punk News podcast before, as Adam White mentioned, editor Adam White, is punk can be kind of broken down into two teams. There's the Adam White team, or the teenager Adam White team, which is, I'm not happy anywhere. Here's a place where I'm safe. Here's a place where people will accept me. So I will put on this jersey and be part of this club. And then there's the John G, you know, team, where it's punk is destruction and chaos and it's do whatever you want. Where Jell-O, I guess the team is think for yourself, act intelligently, act kindly, but also be weird. And I think,
I'm on the Jell-O team, man. I'm not joining either your poser teams.
Well, I mean, I'm on the Jell-O team myself, which is no team. I think that's the important, and I think that's getting lost in punk rock a lot. It is to think for yourself, act weirdly, and people, you know, people in certain groups say, "Oh, Jell-O's not as left as we are." Jell-O's pretty far left. I mean, I think
Jell-O's pretty far left. Yeah, I don't think that's anything to worry about.
He was far left before you were.
Yeah. He's
far enough left that he realizes that, you know, Hillary Clinton's not the solution.
I think
you know what I mean?
I think what some of our leftist friends forget is that Jell-O is very far left, but Jell-O's very far left by thinking to that position, not by putting on a team jersey. You know what I mean?
Or following the trend.
Right. So listen, let's get out of the, I guess, the more negative aspect, and we'll do two more topics. Or not negative aspect, but difficult aspects or thorny aspects. Let's do two more topics, and we'll play one more set. Jell-O. Why has Jell-O resonated throughout the season? 1979 through now, how many years is that? That's almost 40 years. Why has Jell-O resonated for almost 40 years, where some other punk bands that I like, you know, Crime, amazing punk band, Avengers, amazing punk band, they haven't had the impact, and they haven't had the impact on the younger generation that Jell-O has. Why has Jell-O resonated throughout the decades as something new and interesting and someone that we care about or are interested in, even in the 90s and 2000s, where many punk bands kind of either got caught in the 80s or even caught in 1979?
Well, I was just going to say
it's because he makes better music.
Well, that's true.
He's never rested on his laurels.
I was going to say, you know, he's, you know, throughout the decades, he's been able to reinvent himself a lot as an artist.
I said in very few words, Ricky, but yes.
All right, I'm going to expand on it just a little bit.
Go ahead. Fill the blanks for me.
He went in from being a Dead Kennedys lead singer, active punk guy, started his own label, did the DIY thing, then became arguably a free speech activist with the PMRC thing. And what he also kept doing was he kept finding other bands assigned to his label, get those guys out there. I know he's really involved with DOA for a long time. With Alternative Tentacles. And then, you know, he did the spoken word thing. Then he got a lot more politically active. I know he was active during the Occupy movement. I know he was big in the Green Party in the 2000 election. He ran for mayor. He's not just one person. He's not just one thing. And then later he did Guantanamo School of Medicine. He did all the other, you know, Jelvins, Henry Rollins Band. So he's never stood still. And he just keeps reinventing himself. And even now. So I think that's why he's able to, he always has something new going on. And because everyone loved the original Dead Kennedys, people still find it, I think, he's still very, very much worthy to pay attention to.
He's worthy to pay attention to, but he's not just playing those 30-year-old songs over and over again. There's more to him than that. I get you, Ricky. Yeah. I agree with everything he's just said.
He's not just the guy he used to be in the Dead Kennedys. And I think that's actually something that, I don't know, sometimes kind of annoys me about like his discography, is that people kind of tend to kind of either overlook it because it's just like they see it as kind of side projects or something, or they only listen to it because he was in Dead Kennedys, when like some of those albums like rival some of those Dead Kennedys albums, I think, and really have their own merits.
I would say the best Guantanamo School Medicine, and the best, I would definitely say Sig Howdy, the second Jell in the Melvins record. I think that's as good as his best as Dead Kennedys records. I love Sig Howdy. I think that's an amazing record.
I think same with No Means No.
Yeah, yeah.
Sky Spong and I Want My Mommy.
And also, keep in mind, you know, just because he keeps changing his stuff, he's never really lost contact with his roots. Like, he kind of, he's able to, again, he reinvents himself really well in pretty much everything he does. So, yeah.
And you know what else? You know what? Also, I mean, good point, Ricky, but I'll say this is Jello has some very political songs. Actually, most of his songs are political. He has some very intense political, deeply thought out songs. But he still has fun, and I think a lot of bands forget that aspect.
Yeah,
you know, Jello songs are awesome. They rock. I mean, it's kind of like the perfect recipe, or at least for me. It's heavy, like super jacked up, you know, punk or punkish or weird tunes that have some real deep thought behind them, that have a not always a clear point, but usually a clear point behind them. But also, he's funny a lot. He's got the Mad Magazine thing going. So it's almost like a one-man Public Enemy, if you will. You know, you've got your Flavor Flav, your Professor Griff, and your Chuck D all in one. You've got the funny guy, you've got the uber serious deep guy, and you've got kind of the grandstand, like, boom back guy all in one. Jello's a one-man Public Enemy. What can I say, you know?
Well, and also, you know, there's one other thing. When you talk about, like, the humor and kind of the really kind of unique darkness that are in the Dead Kennedys records, I remember listening to an interview with him, and he was talking about, like how can I get, like, this punk thing this early punk thing going on and mix it with, like, Alice Cooper. I'm paraphrasing, but he mentioned Alice Cooper. I'm like, that totally makes sense.
You know, he covered Alice Cooper with the Melvins.
Oh, did he really?
They did an amazing – I believe the first time Jello saw the Melvins, they did a cover of Halo of Flies, which they've done that cover a lot.
Ah.
So on Sig Howdy.
Yeah, that also opens up Sig Howdy.
On Sig Howdy, they do a cover, and maybe we should play that. I was going to play, maybe we'll play them both. I don't know. We'll see. But that is an amazing cover. And honestly, it's not easy to cover Alice Cooper, but Jello and the Melvins knock it out of the park. They really do. All right, boys. Well, let's see. We're wrapping this up. We're going to play one more mini set, but let's cover one last topic. As you know, history has a way of boxing people into a box. You know, that the Sex Pistols were about anarchy, and they said, we're tired of your, you know, AM rock. You know, the New York Dolls were about freaking people out. You know, the Ramones were about destroying, you know, AM rock. You know, and Crass was about being really, really punk. That's what Crass was about. Will Jello, is there a way we can view Jello's legacy in a compact unit, and also will history kind of box him into a compact unit, or is Jello bigger than that? And I mean, like another example, Frank Zappa. What's Frank Zappa's impact? You kind of can't box him into a thing because he's Frank Zappa. He's got too much going on, you know. So will Jello be, I guess, by the history books or whatever, knocked into a paragraph worth? And should we do that? And if we should, how do you view his legacy?
I mean, I kind of – oh, sorry. This happens every time. I feel like I kind of alluded to this recently, but I think, unfortunately, he's probably just going to be remembered as like the Dead Kennedys guy, and it's a shame because I don't think that he should, but – you know, that was his biggest mark on the world, and that's why he's going to be remembered.
I don't know if I can agree with that, Sean. I agree that the Dead Kennedys might be his most well-known band, but he's done Alternative Tentacles, which is the longest-running independent record label.
I was going to say, that'd be the other thing for me, label, man. Label is huge.
But is that going to be like if you're talking about music history books, you have to boil everything down to, I don't know.
No. See, I think, like, He's one of those people where, yeah, the music was really important, but I think you can't really he's also one of the, you know, along with, like, later on, Brett Gurewitz did Epitaph, Fat Mike did Fat Records. You know, all those Dead Kennedys records were put out pretty much DIY, except I think in, like, I think Cherry Records in, like, Europe did it for them. But I think because he had such an impact on getting new bands out there too, I think those two can really be separate. Never Escape being the lead singer of the Dead Kennedys. Now whether the other stuff becomes like a lot more prevalent, I don't know. I think I think we need to see what he does more with Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine. But I think I think he should be. I think he's an underrated musician in the historical sense, in terms of like the mainstream. But I think, yeah, for sure the label should be up there. They put out such good stuff. I mean, even like the more contemporary stuff. Like, I mean, they did a World Inferno record, the last one. They did Star Fucking Hipsters.
Dude, Alternative Tentacles has been killing it, man.
They do a lot of great stuff, and
those Let Them Eat Jelly Beans comps are, if you look at those track lists, they're pretty crazy awesome. Like,
if you ask me,
there's some legendary stuff on there.
If you ask me, Jelly Beans is the best punk comp there is. Jelly Beans is amazing.
Rap music is.
I was going to say, the other thing about Alternative Tentacles, and I've said this before because we had Jesse Michaels on, and Alternative Tentacles, for me, the way they collect, they'll take a band like Really Red was
you
one
mean,
that was
you last, Jesse Michaels or Jesse years. Luscious?
Jesse Luscious, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Where they will compile these, they'll take a band's entire discography and compile it down to a couple of discs or a couple of albums, and I don't think there's any label that's better at archiving classic punk bands than Alternative Tentacles. They do a really great job of that stuff, and I know a lot of it is kind of like Jello's pet band or some band that he played with in Oklahoma in 1985 or something. So I love that stuff. I try to buy. I mean, the label to me, just the imprint of the label is enough to make me buy some, you know, like the Inbred, which I have sitting on my shelf right now, this band from like Virginia or West Virginia or something that nobody ever heard of, but it's real cool stuff, you know, Killed by Death era stuff.
You're right. Jello has phenomenal take. Oh, go ahead.
He does. But the other thing I'll say about Jello is he's a personality. You know, I would go so far as to say he's like the West Coast Ian MacKaye. Like, if you're going to make any kind of a, like, documentary, or you're going to write a book or anything about, like, the Bay Area scene at all, you want to interview Jello, you want Jello to write your foreword. I mean, the guy's, he's bigger than life. You know, he's a personality.
Well put, Tom. As I was saying, Jello's got an amazing taste. The Phrantix compilation, the Really Red compilation, Mischief Brew, World Inferno, Arno Core. He's got the new band Alternative Tentacles.
Articles of Faith.
Articles of Faith.
They did the Articles of Faith stuff. That was one of the first.
Leftover Cracks, Fuck World Trade came out on it.
Yeah, and also there was that split with Citizen Fish. Wasn't that on Alternative Tentacles? Yeah, Jello actually did a bunch of word bit on Baby Punchers, I think.
Yeah, and then did two Star Fucking Hipsters records come out on it, or just one?
I think just one.
Didn't one come out on Fat Wreck?
Yeah, two of them. I think two came out on Fat, the other, and one came out on Alternative Tentacles.
Alternative Tentacles is just a label that it's insane how, like, even how you can go back to like even the most obscure artists on the label. And I think this is like, this is something that you can only do with like Alternative Tentacles and Discord, where like really just every little nook and cranny of that label is incredible, and there's so many hidden gems on there it's pretty incredible just how consistent that label has been.
Pansy Division 2, I mean
Itch.io, which is like one of the newer like far out groups on Alternative Tentacles. So listen, let's play another set and we'll come back and we'll wrap this up. We're going to play another bootleg track. This is Jello with Chumbawamba covering Elvis's Heartbreak Hotel, but they call it Homeless Hotel. Then we're going to play, this is an official track. Jello has frequently talked about how when he was younger, before he got into punk rock, punk rock existed before Jello, but he was pretty early on. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Jello was influenced by punk on record before he started recording punk, because it didn't really exist, you know, before he started recording on record, that is. So Jello used to talk about how he's influenced by the Stooges. Well, the Ramones, I guess, existed. He's influenced by the Stooges, the Ramones, but also Hawkwind. And in the 90s, Jello appeared on Nick Turner of Hawkwind's a track. So we were going to play Jello with Nick Turner doing a Hawkwind track, which is really, really cool. And then we're going to play Mother-in-Law, which is off, I guess, it's the newest Jello record. It's Jello Biafra and the New Orleans Soul and Raunch All-Stars. He went down to New Orleans on a dare to do an all-soul cover set, and this record is amazing. Like, this record is, I'm still rocking this once a month. It's Jello doing all, like, soul and garage rock. He does House of Rising Sun. He does Mother-in-Law. He does Working in the Coal Mine, which I think might be a nod to Devo as well. And he does The Land of a Thousand Dances, and it's Jello and like an 11-piece band, and it is one of the most. It's like Sam Cooke, not in the sense that Jello sings like an angel, because Jello sings like Jello, but it's the soul is there. Like it's so hard in the modern context for singers to have soul, if you ask me, and the soul is there, and it is amazing, wild, funny, amazing record. So that's Jello doing Mother-in-Law, and then we're gonna close it out with probably my favorite cover of all time, my all-time favorite cover. This is Jello and the Melvins doing In Every Dream Home, A Heartache, which is a Roxy Music cover, which is – this cover is also the song that got me into Roxy Music. To begin with, I didn't even really know about Roxy Music before I heard this track, but I think this track is kind of better than the Roxy version. But this is Jello and the Melvins covering Roxy Music's In Every Dream Home, Dream House, A Heartache. And what's interesting about this one is Buzz Osborne thinks that Jello's singing is heavily influenced by Brian Ferry. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's Buzz Osborne's take on it, and that's why they covered Roxy Music, which included Brian Ferry. So we're going to listen to those tracks, and we'll be right back. Well, we won't be right back. We'll be back in, I don't know, 20 minutes, 15 minutes. Give it a little while. Let's listen to these jams.
Well, since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. Down south of Market Street in Homeless Hotel. It feels so lonely, baby. It feels so lonely, baby. It feels so lonely, I could die. The yuppies, they all hate me. The cops all dress in black. They dragged me out of Golden Gate Park, said, you ain't coming back at it.
I'm not. four, five, and
mother-in-law.
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 Mother-in-law. The worst person I know.
Mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law. The world raised me so.
Mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law. If she leave us alone, we have a happy home. Sent from down below.
Mother-in-law.
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 Mother-in-law. Saint should be her name.
Mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law.
To me they're about the same.
Mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law.
Every time I open my mouth, she cuts in, tries to pick me out. Sent from down below.
Mother-in-law.
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 Every dream home, a heartache. And every step I take takes me further from heaven. Is there a heaven? I'd like to think so. Standards of living, they're falling daily. But home, oh sweet home, it's only a saying. From bell push to faucet, in smart town apartment, the cottage is pretty. The main house a palace, penthouse perfection. But what goes on there? What to do there? Where to pray there? Open plan living, bungalow ranch style, all of its comforts seem so essential. I bought you mail order. My plain wrapper, baby. Your skin is like vinyl, the perfect companion. You float in my new pool, deluxe and delightful. Inflatable doll. My role is to serve you, disposable darling. Can't throw you away now. Immortal and life-size. My breath is inside you. I'll dress you up daily and keep you till death size. Inflatable doll. Lover ungrateful. I blew up your body.
Oh,
And we are back. And you know, boys, we've been gabbing for an hour and a half, but it really feels like we've been talking for about 20 minutes.
I did. This flew by.
I agree. Went quick.
Why? I mean, like.
This was a good conversation. I mean, this one was. I think this one was very much more relaxed than like the black flag one.
Where I'm just throwing random black flag facts at you guys. Like, did you know this? Did you know this? Did you know this?
Yeah, you know? It was basically like a dissertation on black flag. But yeah, maybe it was because we just kind of gave into the fact that we only know so much about it, and we're just gonna riff on it, you know, yeah. Instead of getting all tight about it.
Well, listen, boys and girls, you need to check out. I mean, it's Yellow Biafra Week of Punk News. We got a ton of reviews. Each of the guys here has at least written one review, I believe, multiple ones from most of the guys here. We're going to have an interview with Jello at the end of the week, and we had one at the beginning of the week too. So stick around for that. And Jello's the man. He really is. I've interviewed Jello about 10 times now, and every time he's the real deal. Like he is who he is on stage. He talks really fast. He gets excited very easily. He's somewhat mercurial, but he believes what he's saying, and he's doing what he says he's doing it for, if that makes any sense. And he's just a very unique and special person. Stanford Sean, any last words about Jello or DK or anything else you want to mention?
I mean, just that I really like their music. I think I've expressed that, but yeah.
Tom Trauma, how about you? Anything you want to close out with?
Listen, the proof is in the pudding, pun intended. Listen to the music.
That was pretty good, Tom. That was pretty good, actually. That was real good. Tricky Ricky, Jello, what are your closing thoughts?
First thing, and I can't believe we didn't mention this in the middle or the beginning, but if you don't know, Jello and Nardwar's relationship is hysterically funny. I know one of Nardwar's bands is on Alternative Tentacles. I forgot their name for some reason.
Well, Alternative Tentacles did put out a DVD compilation of Nardwar interviews. Also, Alternative Tentacles put out Nardwar's one album of Nardwar's power pop band, The Evaporators.
Right. Yeah, them. And that is, so yeah, that if you can find Nardwar's interviews with him, it's always hilarious. No, listen, I mean, the Dead Kennedys were life changing for me. Jello's music was very, very life changing. I really can't stress that enough. I probably the number one band that's done that for me. So I'm incredibly grateful, for that. And, he should just keep going, really.
Well put, Ricky. Well put indeed. I won't add anything on top of that. That really is excellent, eloquent. Much more than me, who is going this. Anyways, let's play one more final song. I don't have the song planned. What song should we ride this podcast out with? Should we play DK? Mm-hmm. Should we play something unusual? What should we do?
A California Uber Alice.
All right, let's do the single version of California Uber Alice by the Dead Kennedys off the Alternative Tentacles release Give Me Convenience or Give Me Death. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you during the next special.
We'll see you on Johnny Thunder's week, people.
Your eyes can't happen here. A thing for one. secret police. They have come for your uncool niece. Come quietly to the town. You're the nice as a drawstring lamb. Don't you worry, it's only a shower. For your clothes is a pretty flower. Die on organic poison gas. Something's already that. You will grow, you will rent old clown. When you mess with President Brown. When you mess with President Brown.
Television.